Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa DeYoung. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. I'm Lisa DeYoung, and I'm very excited about this topic today because it's a really important topic, and it's something that I personally have a relationship with. And it actually is a topic that came from one of my very recent graduates at the Menstrual Coach Academy, Greta, who in her assessment, when she was writing her assessment, I was reading it over, and one of the things that she took away from the 6-month program that she did with me was realizing how important it is to believe in yourself. And not only that, but also to have people in your life, whether that's friends or family or, you know, professionals who believe in you as well. So when we don't believe in ourselves, that's really hard. And I can really relate to that, especially as someone who is passionate, is creative, has a lot of ideas. And you're probably the same. You're probably listening to this and you're probably somebody who is also passionate, creative, sensitive, intuitive, ambitious, and you have ideas and you have things that you want to do. Or maybe there are things that you're doing out there in the world, creative pursuits or business, or you're learning something or you're studying something. And it can really be quite painful when the undercurrent of our journey in life is a lack of self-belief. And there's so many ways that that can show up for us. So it can be in that we might avoid taking action, or we might avoid the uncomfortable but necessary emotions that are involved in the thing that you want to do, or the creative pursuit, or going for the thing you want to create. And so we can be stuck in avoidance, or we might not reach out for help. So we might isolate as well. That can be another way that it shows up for us. Or even when we do take action, this is something I experience a lot. I can really question myself and doubt myself, and then overly prepare or overly research or overthink it through, and maybe overshare and overtalk with my partner or a friend, and want to prevent something bad from happening. Okay, so we can kind of overthink in that regard or overplan. So there's so many different ways that not believing in ourselves can show up. And I think it's a good thing to think about, and it's a good thing to be curious about, and a good thing to be aware of, because I want for you and for me to be in the flow of life and be not held back by unnecessary things that are happening within ourselves. So that's what I want to chat with you about today, is this experience of how we can build our self-belief a little bit more. And then also to think about the importance of having other people who believe in us too. And that's a really, really important part of it. So we're going to chat about that. And I'm also going to chat about the importance of you also believing in others, and you believing in, if you're a professional, clients or your friends or your partner as well. That's so important. So if we are starting off with exploring this, and the reason this is linked to the menstrual cycle, I always want to link these topics back to my work around healing and recovery in the nervous system and trauma, is because when we are on a healing journey with our menstrual cycle, this can really show up as well as like not believing in your own ability to heal, or not believing in your own path or your own journey. And that's okay. And then not believing in the actions you're taking, or if you get a setback, then that feeling can come up that we don't believe in ourselves. So this can definitely play out in our health journey, but also if we're stuck in a lot of it in a lot of different areas of our life, what is happening on a biological level with the nervous system is when we're in that self-doubt and the over-preparing and the over-planning and the criticism that might be happening as well under the surface, we're actually stuck in a lot of the fight-flight response in the nervous system. And when we are living in all of that energy, living in the fight-flight response, which I certainly was for many years, and I know you can relate, our nervous system is in that stress response. And when we're in that stress response, there's cortisol, there's adrenaline. Again, this is not a bad thing, but if we're there constantly all the time, it creates a biochemical environment that is more primed for inflammation and more pain signals to be firing from the brain. Okay. So that will impact so many different areas of your life. It can really impact your just your health. You know, you might get pain or I don't know, headaches or whatever physical thing that can happen. For me, it's sleep and inflammation and bloating. So what we're looking to do is create more of the rest and digest. In my work, I'm really focused on creating more rest and digest in the nervous system so that our body itself can heal and bring more homeostasis and regulation into the system. Okay. So when this a really important part of this work, as is all my work, is the mind-body connection and our relationship with ourselves. And this is just one like little topic out of many different topics that I'll be talking about in this podcast, is around believing in ourselves and then having someone else, you know, having other people around to believe in us. So yeah, I think the first step with this would be to literally just very compassionately, very gently ask ourselves, is this happening and how does it show up? And then get curious about that. And it is hard to look at when you're in it, but when you're kind of out of it, it's a little bit easier. So, like I said, for me, even in just simple examples, recently I was planning a holiday and I got myself overly stressed because I was like thinking of every tiny little thing, you know, and planning and reading every little review that I could possibly find on this particular place I was going to and looking for problems so that I could prevent them, you know, and it's not relaxed. And like, I know it's important to prepare yourself for a holiday, and me, I'm sensitive to like extreme heat and mosquitoes, etc. So there's certain things that I just need to kind of mind myself with and I need to research. But if I overdo it, then it becomes really stressful. And then I go into that place of like the self-doubt and the questioning and was this right? And oh, will I just read another review to see if this is the right kind of place? Okay, so that's kind of like a very like low risk example. It can be other examples in your life where you might have this, but this kind of like not believing in yourself thing and the doubt and the self-questioning can really be quite insidious and it can be really everywhere. Okay. So it's good to really be honest with ourselves. And if that is very prevalent, then it's, you know, it might feel uncomfortable, but I think it's good to really like see it, you know, have that look in the mirror and be like, wow, this is really, really like in my life a lot. And, you know, great. It's a lot of courage to, it takes a lot of courage to look at that because to change takes courage and a lot of integrity. And yeah, that's why you're here. So looking at it is the first thing. And then lots of compassion, lots of self-care, and maybe getting a bit curious about where that might have come from. You know, it might have come from other people questioning you a lot. That's often the case if you grew up in an environment or with relationships where people doubted you and questioned you, then it's very easy to internalize that and then question ourselves. Or even if you didn't have enough of the opposite, if you didn't have enough of the other people having faith in you and supporting you in your own self-trust, then it can feel like a little weak in that regard. Or maybe you've had experiences, trauma, or difficult encounters in life that we all have that leave their scars, you know, and then they can leave us feeling defensive or self-doubting and confused between our intuition and our fear. So that's very real as well. It can be kind of hard to navigate that. Yeah, so it's good to then be curious about, okay, where is this coming from? And as well, thinking about, you know, like the gendered lens, which I like to talk about too. In certain circumstances, women are questioned more than men as well, or different identities can be questioned more depending on any identity that you relate to as well. So that's something to consider as well, how the systemic lens might impact this internalized relationship with our belief in ourself or lack thereof, or that questioning thing that can come up. Okay. So we have to identify it, then we want to just kind of locate where it might have come from. And that's okay, just putting the cards out on the table, as I say to my clients, we're just looking at what is and building a relationship with what is. And then we want to move out of the black and white thinking. So the black and white thinking is another thing that shows up when we're in the fight or flight response, where it's very much like all or nothing. Okay, it's like I'm either right or I'm wrong, or I'm going to do this correctly or I'm not, and there's no kind of in between. And how that shows up in the menstrual cycle work that I bring my clients through is it can be, well, before they come to me, but it can be, or it might have been, very much like this isn't working, therefore I'm failing, or this isn't working, therefore it's never going to work, or this isn't working, therefore I've done something wrong. Okay. As opposed to the more what's called the anti-oppressive lens, which is that we're looking for the gray area and inviting more of that. And being okay with things not being perfect. So it's not going to be fixed, but better is progress. So we're looking for the progress. And in healing work and in chronic pain healing work and recovery work and healing the menstrual cycle work, I'm always looking for progress. And the progress might not immediately show up in the kind of quote unquote problem area of the menstrual cycle. So if you're coming to this work with pain or PMDD, you might see progress in other parts of your cycle or in other parts of your life first before you see progress in the cycle itself. Okay, so that's very often what I see. I see a lot of my clients who are like, I feel more relaxed, I'm sleeping better, I'm not stressing about such and such and this person and that person. I don't feel this guilt as much as I used to, or because I'm working a lot with emotions too. So a lot of my clients struggle with guilt is a big emotion I see in my work, suppressed anger as well, not having a relationship with our anger. Lots of different emotions, grief as well. So the progress, as far as I'm concerned, it might not be immediately that, oh, the pain is gone, but it might be, oh, I'm not feeling that guilt or that anger. It's not as charged in my body anymore. Okay. So I'm looking for that kind of progress. And that's really important when we're looking for, yeah, we're looking for lots of evidence of progress to get us out of that black and white thinking. And again, when it comes to this work, our healing work is never going to be linear. It's never going to be linear. And that's why mindfulness is so important. So in my work, mindfulness is a huge part of my practice. And for myself personally, is that we're like working with one cycle at a time, one day at a time. And you might have months and months and months where you have no pain. And then all of a sudden you might experience a difficult cycle. And that's okay. There doesn't have to be like any meaning around that. But we're really trying to be really present with one cycle at a time. And sometimes one day at a time as well. So we're getting out of the black and white thinking and looking for the progress. And as well, when we are trying to build that confidence in ourselves and but more like belief in ourselves, what we're also wanting to look for is evidence. So if you are looking to build belief in yourself in relation to, it could be your healing journey or just in yourself in general, or maybe you're wanting to manifest a new relationship, or maybe you're wanting to, I don't know, write a book or start a business or create new nourishing friendships. What we're wanting to do is then look for evidence where you have made progress in that area in your life. So looking for lots of evidence. So if you, for example, say you want to write a book, then it's hard because I get that taking steps with a creative project can be really scary and daunting and brings up lots of feelings. But you might have to then train your brain to look for evidence where you have written well in the past, where you are a good writer, where you're good at taking risks, where you're good at like getting support, asking for help. Maybe you're a great reader. And I really believe that being a great reader itself is a skill, and like picking up on really good literature and taking in the language as part of writing. So that's something to look for the evidence of. So where you're looking for evidence of the story where all of the pieces will fit into the puzzle. And that's really, really important because when we look for that positive evidence or truthful evidence that is true, then it's a reminder to our nervous system that something is true. And then the nervous system can start to relax and come into regulation. So that's really important. And as well, then the other things that are important when it comes to building that belief in ourselves is like I said, taking risks, trying things out, testing things, running experiments. And when we're in that kind of playground of exploring what it is that you're wanting to create or move towards in your life, it's hard if you have been avoiding that for a long time, but it's very important that we begin to slowly inch our way into that sandpit arena where we're able to play and explore and just kind of experiment with things. So you might think of an idea that could be fun to do. So say, for example, you are somebody who wants to create more friendships in your life and you want to, because you're at a stage in your life where you realize, oh, these things just don't happen. You have to take action and like put yourself out there. You might then ask yourself, okay, well, maybe I will go to a book club in my local town, or maybe I will join a tennis club, or maybe I will set up a group on Facebook or on meetup.com or one of these online spaces where you can create a group and then, initiate something, take initiative and take action. And that can be scary, and it can be really scary to put ourselves out there. But what you're doing is you're getting used to then feeling uncomfortable. And this is the secret. This is the secret to creativity and realizing your dreams and your ambitions. It's not just sitting there and like visualizing stuff and hoping things will manifest. It really is in taking the aligned action. And in order to take the aligned action, we have to get somewhat comfortable with the discomfort. And the more we get comfortable with the discomfort, the easier it gets. And then you're just telling yourself, oh, I just have to move through some difficult emotions. And that's all it is. And you can self-care through that. You can talk to someone, you can journal, you can take a bath, you can take a walk, you can pace yourself, you can do one little small step at a time. But if you're in avoidance and you're not taking action and you're not taking aligned action, or you're expecting things to happen, then we're recreating the problem. And then we're just creating more evidence for ourselves to not believe in ourselves. Okay, so we don't want that. So those are all things that I would encourage you to think about. I actually have here on my desk a little like post. It's like a business card and it has a quote on it. It says, "You're doing an amazing job." So things like that, you can have like a background on your phone or a little post-it somewhere or a magnet on your fridge or somewhere or in the background of your computer. You can post these things, put words up in your environment or places that you look regularly with sort of like nice quotes or prompts that feel true to you and are encouraging. And when you look at them, you kind of feel like, oh, I am doing good. Or yeah, I can believe in myself today because I did that thing and I'm proud of myself. And you're building again lots of evidence for believing in yourself. So that's something that I would really encourage you to do is just, to make those prompts physical so that you're looking at them. So then I want to chat about the importance of, because I do think it's important to build this like belief in ourselves based on evidence and based on our ability to be resourceful. I think that's something I've come to really believe about myself is I do feel like I'm a very resourceful person. If I have a problem or if I want to create something or if I need something, I will start to think creatively about like how can I make this happen or what research do I need or who do I need to help me or how much do I need to save in order to get the help that I need or whatever. So that's something, and I used to not think that, but now I do. I have plenty of evidence to see that I am resourceful, and it's a lovely thing to be able to sit here and say, like, I feel like I'm a resource. Well, I know that I'm a resourceful person. I really can, and I can believe in myself when it comes to new challenges or things that happen in my life. And there's been loads of stuff, particularly with building a business. My business has been very successful over the last few years, and I'm really happy about that because it's so in alignment with who I am and my values. And I really, really wanted my business to be rooted in a lot of integrity. And it's one of the things that my clients say to me is that your business is really in integrity. And I'm so proud of that. And but at the same time, there's been a lot of challenges. I've had a lot of financial challenges. I've had challenges with accountants. I've had challenges with technology. I've had challenges with my supervisor. So many different things have happened, but I know that I am resourceful and I'm not alone and I have support and I can believe in myself to get the help that I need and I can believe in myself if I need to do something alone too. And that's a lovely thing to be able to say, but it has been part of my recovery journey. And the same thing with my menstrual cycle. If I struggle with a cycle or if there's pain or if I feel like I'm taking a few steps back in my journey, I do have to root back into, oh, I can believe in myself. I can trust myself. Look at all the evidence I've created and all of the progress I've made so far. So that's really important. So I want to now talk about the power of having other people believe in you. And this is what my student Greta was reflecting on in her assessment at the Menstrual Coach Academy. And I really, really loved this reflection that she had. And yeah, just how important it is to have people in our lives who we feel they also believe in us. And so at the Menstrual Coach Academy, when I'm training my own coachee students and people who come through the doors, it's a huge topic that we look at is how do we as coaches and facilitators position ourselves as supports for our clients, but without disempowering them? And specifically, what I'm talking about here is in coaching and in coaching psychology, there are certain models that explain this. So there's a model called the drama triangle. And essentially what the drama triangle says, it says that if you are like a helping professional, like myself, a coach or a therapist or any kind of helping person, and if you're unconsciously getting your needs met by being helpful, then on an unconscious level, then we can hold our clients in a disempowered place and sort of not believe in them and feel like, and sort of on an unconscious level, send a message that they need our help in order to get what they need. And so this is something that we reflect on a lot in the Menstrual Coach Academy, because I'm not here to teach my students to be all-knowing gurus. That's the opposite of what we do. And I'm not there to, to give people this like unhealthy power dynamic with their clients. And rather, what we're here to do is be in a, it's called power sharing. So be in a power with position with our clients. So it's very important that my students and me, myself as well, and the coaches who come through the doors of the Menstrual Coach Academy understand this, and we understand how to coach in a way that is empowering for our clients and not disempowering. And I'm sure we've all felt the feeling of maybe a care provider in our lives or a friend or even a professional who the energy and the feeling we're getting when we're sitting with them is very like a lot of advice, a lot of fixing, not wanting to sit with discomfort, not wanting to sit in the unknown, and just trying to like fix the problem and get rid of the uncomfortable feelings. And that's not, it's not a good way to coach, because then we're not supporting our clients to be resourceful and move through difficult feelings and feel empowered and make mistakes and learn from their mistakes and face consequences. And that's a very, very important thing when it comes to coaching as well. So what we're looking to do in the academy is then to help you as a student who's coming through the door to understand how to coach in that empowering way, particularly when it comes to the menstrual cycle, because a lot of the root of the issue with the menstrual cycle is a feeling of feeling disempowered or trauma from the past around lack of support, lack of empathy, lack of compassion, lack of education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, with the menstrual cycle, I see it every day in my work, in my client work. So we don't want to see our clients as victims. We want to see them as powerful clients, powerful human beings who maybe have gone through something difficult, and we're just helping them see the way. That's all. We're helping them see the way. We don't want to see them as broken or a victim, or, that they'll never fix it. So when we're coaching, and this is such a powerful thing in the coaching world, is to sit in the energy of believing in your client, to sit in your energy, in that energy of believing in your client when they might not believe in themselves. And I've experienced that before with my own mentors, where I've had mentors who, and people in my life who believed in me and who held the belief for me before I even believed in myself. And it's so, oh God, I feel like just so emotional even thinking about it, because how powerful is that? How powerful is it to gift that to your client, to see someone who's struggling and who might not believe in themselves or might feel helpless or hopeless? And for us as facilitators, practitioners, or even friends or whoever it is in your life, to embody the energy of believing in your person, your client, or your the person you're with. Okay. So that's what we're doing in the academy. And it's a somatic thing, it's a skill set. It's not like a practical thing. And we do a lot of practice in the academy as well with regards to coaching, and we feel into that energy as well. So that's a really, really powerful thing to do. But if you are just generally interested in this topic, you can think about this as well in your own personal life. It's something that I think about in my relationship with my fiance, Richard. You know, if he's struggling, I'm so tempted to just go in and fix, 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 and give advice. And sometimes he does ask for that, and that's okay. But there's other times where, you know, he just wants to be heard and he just needs a listening ear, and he might need a bit of encouragement, or he might need me to say, like, I hear you, that sounds really tough. Or he might need for me to say, like, I know you can like get through this. You've moved through difficult things before, and like you'll figure this out. And if you need my help, I'm here, but I'm gonna support you and I'm gonna stand by your side. And I think that's such a powerful thing to do. And I think we don't get enough of this. We don't get enough of this. The world is full of advice and things to do, and you know, all these things like actions to take and ways to fix things, but there's not enough people, in my opinion, you know, saying, can we learn to sit with somebody in their discomfort as opposed to need to move them away from it? Okay. And I've had to actually ask people in my family and my friends to say, I've had to say to them, I just need you to like listen. I need some empathy. I need some compassion. I don't need an answer. I don't need more advice, because that's actually stressful. It gives me more, like I said, more options to consider and more research to do. I just need to be held in this difficulty right now. And I don't want to be alone in the difficulty. So that's my little reflection on the power of believing in ourselves and having someone else believe in us. So there's kind of two pieces. Well, there's actually three pieces. There's the piece of work around the individual and our relationship with ourselves and how we can strengthen that and be aware of where it might, you know, get triggered into not believing in ourselves, or maybe sometimes when we don't believe in ourselves, it can just be an indicator that we need help with something or we need support. That's okay too. It doesn't mean that you need to build your confidence. It could just be that you need help. And then the other piece is the power of having people in our lives believing in us. And then if you're interested in the Menstrual Coach Academy, it's a huge topic that we're exploring with how we hold that for our clients as they journey their own journey of healing and recovery. And then, yeah, how we can receive that and how we can then give that as well to our friends, our family, and people in our lives. So that's my topic for today. I'd love to hear any thoughts or feedback, or if you've had experiences of this, do let me know. Leave a comment below, and I will talk to you soon. Take good care. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.